Indiana, the 19th state. The Indiana Historical Society and Media Indiana present the 19th state. Glimpses of Indiana's past and present. The people, the events, the values that shape our lives.
When you're feeling mighty lonely, skies are gray, come along down your way. You will find the sun is shining most every day. Come along down your way.
Yes, from down Hoosier Way, here's another few minutes of music making by some of your friends and favorites from WOWO's famous Hoosier Hub.
America in the 1930s was waking up with an economic hangover, emerging from the Depression, and getting back on its feet again. Rumors of war were circulating, but most people turned their attentions toward a relatively new entertainment medium, radio. And one of the most popular nationally broadcast shows originated not from New York, not from Chicago, not even from Los Angeles. Fort Wayne, Indiana, was the home of a live radio show many people tuned in Saturday nights during the 1930s and 40s. The show called The Hoosier Hop. I'm Chris Roberts, substituting for Chris Schenkel, and today on the 19th state, we'll begin a two-part episode on The Hoosier Hop, the show that some call the grandfather of today's public radio shows, a prairie home companion, and mountain stage. Today, we'll talk with some of the people who helped put The Hoosier Hop on the air and discuss why live radio shows like The Hop are back in style. We're in the studios of WOWO AM Radio in Fort Wayne, the station that originated The Hoosier Hop. Joining us today are veteran entertainer Sam DeVincent, his wife Nancy Lee, longtime WOWO personality Bob Sievers, Tommy Longsworth, who was with The Hop in its early days, and via remote at the Indiana State Museum in Indianapolis, the curator of the Hoosier Radio History Exhibit at the Indiana State Museum, Dale Ogden. Thanks to all of you for being here today. Well, first of all, Tommy Longsworth, just what was the Hoosier Hop, and how did it get started in the early 1930s?
Dorothy Durbin, who was then the program manager at WOWO, decided that they had to have some kind of a program that would appeal to all types of people that she thought back in those days, at least. And so she gathered from everybody played sustaining back in those days. There wasn't such a thing as a paid commercial. So
that's right.
They tried to beat everybody on the back to get up, and then they'd sort of audition and they'd take the best of what they thought was the best. And I recall that the people that was on the program was Mary Berghoff, who was a vocalist back in those days. Herb Schreiner was just a young boy, and he'd staggered in from Toledo, Ohio. And there was Harold and Leslie, which is known as Les and Lee. There was Harold Leslie from Convoy and Homer Rodebush. And they were piano and singing duet. But this was carried then on the CBS network, which only had 17 stations back in those days. And WOWO was one of the first stations on the CBS network, even though it later became NBC and Blue Network then, too, on ABC after that.
Sam DeVincent and Nancy Lee, let's talk about some of these folks on the Hoosier Hop. Shorty Cook and the Don Homers, what do you know about them?
Great group. Shorty Cook, as a matter of fact, is still around, very lively. He's in his 70s, but he jumps around like a rooster. He has a music shop here in Fort Wayne on Fairfield Avenue, and he's still active in music. He doesn't go out and make a lot of personal appearances, but still loves music, and he's always good for a story.
Judy and Jen.
Nancy?
Yes, Judy and Jen. Well, I think Judy and George Arthur, who was part of Blackhawk Valley Boys, still live around the Marion, Indiana area. And Jen, I think, is in Florida, the last I heard. She had gotten married and moved to Florida. And they were a girl team that everybody loved in the Fort Wayne area and all over the nation, in fact.
Bob Sievers, at one time, wasn't it on 150 stations?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. ABC yes. Network.
But the show originated, when, as Tommy mentioned, through the years on the various networks, part of the time on Mutual. then the Red and the Blue Network of NBC, and so on.
The show is broadcast from different locations like the National Guard Armory, the Quimby Theater, the Buck Lake Ranch, and from the WoWo Studios, WOWO themselves.
The audiences were getting so large, they had to find bigger places to hold the shows.
Perhaps
is why they made
that.
The moves.
Yes,
uh-huh.
That's true, yeah. Yep.
Tommy Longsworth, what about Herb Schreiner? Didn't he show up on the show occasionally?
Yeah, yep. He played with the harmonica.
His own harmonica orchestra.
A group something. They had like five or six boys. All the boys, but Herb was from Fort Wayne. And really, it was an excellent outfit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they never won any place as far as that's concerned, primarily because there wasn't any money involved. Nobody had any money to hire anybody back in those days.
Right,
that was
right.
The start of the Depression, as you all know, and mm-hmm. things wasn't too hot.
You bet.
But, Tommy, I have a rare recording. It's actually an album of Herb Schreiner where he features his harmonica band. And by this time, they were in New York, and he was doing his radio and television show.
Well, that was a different group than what they had in Fort Wayne and Sam, because these boys didn't leave Fort Wayne. They never could get enough money to get a train ticket.
Through the magic of radio in Indianapolis is Dale Ogden. Dale, nice to have you with us on the show today.
Thanks, Chris. It's nice to be able to participate with such distinguished company.
What was radio like back then? How was it possible for a show from Fort Wayne, Indiana, to make it on a national basis?
Well, of course, Fort Wayne WOWO was channeling quite a bit of programming to NBC during the period. There was a show called Indiana Indigo that went on with Helen Jones as the lead singer that preceded a show out of Philadelphia with Dinah Shore. There was Little Dr. Hickory, which is what originally brought Jay Gould to WOWO. That was a 15-minute children's show that was fed to NBC. And several other shows over the years. Country music programming was fairly typical at the time. State fairs, a lot of broadcasting was done from state fairs. Of course, the National Barn Dance out of Chicago was one of the most popular programs on network radio throughout the 1930s and 40s, and they had broadcast from Indiana several times. You go back into the early 1920s, and some of the very earliest programming on local radios was the guitar player and his girlfriend who could sing the old standard traditional folk songs. So country music programming and joke telling dates back to the very earliest days of radio in the United States, and was fairly well established in Indiana, particularly by the mid-1940s.
Thanks, Dale, and good to have you here on the 19th State. Back in the studio with our Hoosier Hop representatives, Sam DeVincent. What can you tell us about an audio memory that you have for us?
Well, this is an old, what do you call them, discs back in those days?
Acetate disc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Transcription.
And you're about to hear the original theme song of the Hoosier Hop, circa 1945-46. The quartet singing on the banks of the Wabash. Then they segue into Judy and Jen singing another sub-theme song called Down Hoosier Way. You'll hear the voice of announcer Sam Gifford, Don Bush, and then the opening song actually is the Down Homers. Want to give it a listen?
Oh, moonlight fair tonight along the Wabash, and I long for my Indiana home.
It's the Hoosier Hop. When you're feeling blue and weary, let me say, come on along down Hoosier Way.
Yes, folks, it's another big broadcast from the famous Hoosier House, a festival of real American music and fun with baritone Howard Roper, lovely Judy and Jen, the Oregon Rangers, old Uncle Fez, Don Bush, the Bean Mill Boys, and the Down Homers.
When each new day is born, I go riding.
Yippee-yay.
O'er the wide open plains I roam.
Yippee-yo.
Till the sun to the hills goes hiding.
Yippee-yay.
There will always be someone glad when I come home.
Yippee-yay, yippee-yo. And the day home we go. For a cowboy has to sing.
Yippee-yay.
And a cowboy has to yell.
Yippee-yoo.
For his heart would break inside of him. Of the home around.
Now the long day is through on the prairie.
Yippee-yay.
There's a low hanging sun in the sky.
Yippee-yo.
Round the old home corral we will tarry.
Yippee-yay.
And we'll sing of the roundups in the days gone by.
Yippee-yay, yippee-yo. And the day home we go. For a cowboy has to sing. And a cowboy has to yell. Heart would break inside of him at the gate of the home corral.
There's a tired pony glad that it's over.
Yippee-yay.
With a song in my heart, so am I.
Yippee-yo.
For tonight we'll be dreaming of clover.
Yippee-yay.
And we always will until the day we die.
Yippee-yo, yippee-yo. And the day home we go. For a cowboy has to sing.
That is quite a memory, isn't it? Sam DeVincent, you came to the Hoosier Hop in 1945. What attracted you to it? How was the show accepted across the country in those early days?
Very, very popular. As a matter of fact, the show, we received mail from people living in New York City, as far away as California. Many of the Hollywood stars who were musically inclined used to write to us. That kind of stands out.
Well, we have lots more to discuss about the Hoosier Hop, and we'll continue our discussion next week here in the 19th State. Our thanks today to all the nice folks who joined us here in the studios of WOWO in Fort Wayne, Indiana, to look back at Indiana radio in the 1930s and 40s, and especially the Hoosier Hop. For the 19th State and for Chris Schenkel, I'm Chris Roberts.
Today's episode of The 19th State was written by Rodney Ritchie and produced by Stan Sollers. Our consulting historian was Tom Crisine. The 19th State is a public service presentation of this station, the Indiana Historical Society, and Media Indiana Incorporated. Media Indiana, a not-for-profit educational media corporation, has copyrighted this program in 1988 and is solely responsible for its content. The Indiana Historical Society welcomes your questions and comments about Indiana history. For information on today's topic, send your request to the 19th State in care of the Indiana Historical Society, 315 West Ohio Street, Indianapolis, 46202.
Additional funding for the 19th State is made possible in part by a grant from the Indiana Committee for the Humanities, in cooperation with the National Endowment for the Humanities.